Welcome to the Transformed Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Powers. Thank you for joining us today as Dr. Matthew Lee Smith, lead pastor at Pacific Baptist Church in El Segundo, California, talks about understanding and enjoying the abundance of Jesus in your everyday life. Today, Pastor Matt is looking at three realities of our position in Christ, ones that we receive when we made our faith response to Jesus Christ. Then, in our second passage, he will link these three realities to four practical lifestyle actions so we can enjoy all the blessing God has for us. Let's open our Bibles to Ephesians 2 and follow along with today's study.
Inside your worship folder are message notes. Let me encourage you to take those out if you're a type A personality. Love to fill in the blanks. And mostly, almost all of them, in fact, I think all of them this week are up on the screen as we move along. Would you pray with me, please? Not by might, not by power, Lord, but by your Spirit, you have said. It's how we move forward. And so today, Lord, we want a fresh filling of the Spirit of God. We want revival in our hearts and our souls. We're tired of living lives that are functioned on and our plan and are directed by our ideas, Lord, because we keep crashing and burning in the rocks of misery. Lord, we want a purpose and a plan that's been crafted in heaven and is wise and filled with great joy, with amazing peace. Lord, we pray today that you would work in our hearts and our lives and our souls. May we be more like Jesus when we leave this place than when we came to this place. May we act more like Jesus as a result of being in your word. And all of God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Today I want to talk to you on the subject, how do I enjoy all the blessings God has for me? You'll want to take open your Bible and get it to Ephesians chapter 2. Go ahead and turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Now, I want to ask you a question. Did you ever discover extra money you didn't know you had? Have you ever done that? I love it when I find money. How many of you like it when you find money? Can I see your hands? The rest of you are just asleep or liars, okay? And I want you to notice if you're a spouse or a family relative, they don't care about money, so stop giving them any money, and they'll come around to truth, okay? You know, the same is true for us in Christ. When we find something that we didn't know we had, amazing things happen. We get all excited. We get thrilled. We get chills on our you know, goosebumps, they call them back home. I don't know if you call them that here, but we get all tingly. I get excited. In Christ, you and I have amazing benefits. Somebody said to me, Pastor, you know, you don't make a lot of money. And I said, yeah, but the benefits are out of this world. Okay. You know, as a Christ follower, your benefits are out of this world. But they're also in this world. And when I was thinking about this week, I started thinking about some of these. And so I was thinking about how you are chosen to be God's child. And I was thinking about how in Christ you are chosen by God to be his child. I was thinking about how in Christ you are reconciled to God by Jesus Christ. You're at peace. Battle's over. I was thinking about how you were redeemed. In fact, I was thinking about how you were redeemed by Christ. He bought you out of the slave market of sin, how you were redeemed out of all condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Have you thought about that lately? When somebody points their ugly finger at you and they start condemning you, they're working for Lucifer, not Jesus. There's no condemnation. You're related to God. You're related to God through Christ's sanctification. And so, in this process, you have a new partnership, part of the family of God. You're part of the family of God. I was thinking about the fact that all of your sins are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Everything's gone. Past, present, and future. They're gone. They're covered. Now, they're not gone. You know what I mean. You still do them. Turn to your neighbor and say, I still do them. Okay? They're just taken care of. They're covered in that sense. We've got it covered. You ever heard anybody say, I got you covered? That's what we're talking about. Okay? Now, this is the one I like. You're vitally joined to Christ. You're vitally joined to Christ. And in being vitally joined to Christ, you were crucified with Christ, and so in the process of being crucified with Christ, you get all the benefits. Now, I could go on for hours. Let me just give you one more. I'd love to give you one more. You're dead with Christ. Okay? You're dead with Christ. And in the process of, you've died with Christ. And having died with Christ, you don't have to answer all those urges that you get. When you don't have any money and you say, I'm just going to put it on the plastic, you don't have to sin like that. When you come to the buffet, if you're me, John, you don't have to go back for the second and third and fourth rounds. You don't have to sin through gluttony. I'm dead with Christ, and my old man doesn't need to be fed. If I choose to feed my old man, that's a failure on my sinful part. That is not a failure on God's part. I am dead to that. Now, I could go on and on. I could literally fill this 2 or 3 hour period with these. There are 33 things that happen the moment you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. So the question becomes, how do we respond to Christ? How do we respond to this amazingness of offer? Benefit after benefit after benefit after benefit. How do you respond? The Bible's very clear. We've talked about this before. We will continue to talk about it. The entrance into the abundant life is the faith response that you and I have. Let's read it together. Matthew 16, 24 and 25. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Jesus tells us 4 parts to a faith response. You can tell, if you've been married, you know what these are all about. Number 1, you decide, I'm going to come after that girl, Melody. Okay? That's a choice I made 34, 35 years ago. Okay? Now, the second thing that I'm going to do, if I'm going to decide to marry her, I'm going to have to deny myself. Most marriages fall apart because somebody's selfish, usually both people, but I'm just saying it's usually selfishness. Almost everybody's ever been in my office saying, got marital problems, it's always been the same thing. Me, 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 me. Okay? In Christ, if you're going to come to Christ, you have got to come after him. You make a choice. I'm going to come after him. I'm going to deny myself. Here's the one that every relationship requires and the one for Jesus Christ requires. I'm going to have to take up my cross. I'm going to have to die to my agenda, my will, my thoughts, my desires. I don't get to watch all the TV shows I want to. I don't get to eat all the food I like to. I don't get to sleep all the times I want to sleep. I don't get to go all the places I want to go. That's just the way it is when I got married, and that's just the way it is with Jesus Christ. He's in the driver's seat now. And then I just simply follow wherever he goes. Now, that's the entrance requirement. And we talked about those 4 actions of faith last week, and we've talked about them for several weeks. But you remember what we said last week? We said that Jesus told us that the Great Commission is not about making decisions, it's about making disciples. Go into all the world and make disciples, not decisions. For the first 15, 20 years of my pastoral life, I thought it was all about getting somebody to pray a prayer. But then I noticed along the way people who prayed prayers didn't necessarily follow. And so then I've changed things around. When I share the gospel, I tell them it's not about making a decision. It's about making a disciple. You're going to become a follower. You see, the entrance requirement for heaven is I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. You know that song? How many know that song? Okay, that's what this is all about. Now, making disciples is a lot of trouble. If you've ever had kids, you know what I'm talking about. Making a baby is really easy, but raising a baby is not a lot of fun. Did you notice that? That's not a lot of fun. Now, all of those benefits come out of our faith response. I want to talk about 3 of them, 3 of the benefits of realities that come in your Bible in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. Let's talk about this. What does it mean to enjoy these benefits as the disciple of Jesus Christ? Read it with me, Ephesians 2, 4 and 5. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love that he has had for us, made us alive with the Messiah. Even though we were dead in trespasses, you are saved by grace. Now, I want you to turn to your neighbor and see if they're alive. Just look for some evidence. Okay, just look. See, what do you see? Somebody shout out a couple evidences of being alive.
Beauty.
Beauty? Well, you could be a dead corpse. We know that, right? That's a good one. 2 points for that. Okay, sparkly eyes. The fact that they're open helps, doesn't it? Yeah, that's good. What else?
Movement.
Yeah, movement. We actually see maybe that they're breathing, huh? Evidences of life. Now look, we're going to go back to this and back to this. If you're a Christian and you're ever convicted for it, and that's getting closer and closer to reality in America, if you're ever convicted of being a Christian in America, there needs to be evidence of it. And that evidence is of life. You were made alive. He's given you abundant life. Abundant life overflows this tiny little container you happen to be living in. Abundant life is effervescent. And it's about the Messiah. Did you see that? He's made us live in the Messiah. Some of your translations use the word Christ. Okay? The word Christ means Messiah. It's a translation. Messiah is this thing about King. Okay? Say that with me. Messiah is this thing about King. Okay? Jesus is the King. Now, if Jesus isn't the King of your life, He's probably not much of anything in your life. Because Jesus told us, seek ye... Oh, that's kingship. And all these things will be added to you. So you're going to have to put Jesus Christ first. Every knee will, and every tongue will, that Jesus Christ, the King, is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Next year I'm going to teach on this whole idea of Jesus Christ is Lord. And what does that mean? You and I have to realize that He's King. He's King of our lives. In fact, let me just give you one little glimpse into that series right now. Would you just read with me Acts 17:7? Here's a little glimpse into that series. Read it with me. They are all acting contrary to Caesar's decrees, saying that there is another king, Jesus. Want to know how to turn the world upside down? Stop living for Washington and start living for Jesus. Okay? That's just a glimpse. Just a glimpse. Okay? Now I want you to notice that He made us alive in the Messiah. Abundant life is found in your relationship, not in your religion. Coming to Pacific each Sunday won't make you a Christian any more than I going to Starbucks once or twice a week will make me a vente. Okay? It just doesn't work that way. Okay? This abundant, eternal, rich life is fortified. Notice in this verse, it tells us that God is rich in mercy. Did you notice how it ends? You are saved by grace. I want you to notice that He does all of this because of His great love. So it's mercy, grace, and love. If you're not living with Christ, you're not experiencing great grace, great mercy, great love. Listen, let's flip it around. If you don't experience great grace, great mercy, great love, you're not living with Jesus. How many of you have ever gotten sick of yourself? Don't raise your hands. Been there, done that, got the scars to prove it. And I don't understand why He loves me, much less you. See, I don't even worry about you. I'm so busy trying to figure out why He loves me. But I see in this verse that the reasons aren't the reasons. The reasons aren't the reasons in me. The reasons are the reasons in Him. Do you see that? Great grace, great mercy, great love. In other words, it has nothing to do with the other person. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful that it has nothing to do with us? It has everything to do with Him, because if it had to do with us, we wouldn't be. Okay? So, what should I do about all of this? Well, I need to enjoy the mercy. I need to enjoy the love. I need to enjoy the grace of God. The One who is life Himself has given me abundant, you abundant in eternal life, if you are in Messiah King. I just need to enjoy that. I just need to enjoy the fact that you don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. You just need to enjoy that. You just need to enjoy that. Now, I said there were three realities. Let's take a look at the second one. It's found in verse 6. Read it with me. Together with Christ Jesus, He has raised us up and seated us in the heavens. Now, I don't know about you, but some mornings I don't want to get out of bed. Do I have an amen?
Amen.
I don't want to get out of bed. This morning was one of them. Our neighbors decided that their party would go until 2 o'clock. And they decided to share the music with us. And as the night wore on, it was obvious that they thought that since we were trying to sleep, we needed to hear it better, so they turned up the volume. Okay? You see, as a result of my faith response, your faith response, we are in Messiah King Jesus. And the results are we are joined together with Jesus. And being joined together brings all of the benefits of spiritual resurrection at the time we respond. That moment we come to faith in Christ, all the benefits of the resurrection are ours. And one day, physical resurrection at the second coming. You're going to take your dust, He's going to reconstitute it, and He's going to transform it. He's going to change it into something eternal. Amazing grace. And being joined with Jesus and spiritually resurrected with Jesus now guarantees our place in the kingdom of Jesus in heaven. Guarantees it. You and I have a place in heaven.
Amen.
Melody's taking off for Chicago on Thursday. Going to go back and see the Grands. Hannah bought her a plane ticket so she could come back and watch her run the marathon, the Chicago Marathon, next Sunday before church. And so Melody's going to get on a plane. That ticket was bought in March. Melody has a guaranteed place because of its purchase. Your place in heaven is guaranteed. It was bought 2,000 years ago on Calvary's Hill. You have a place in heaven. And on that day when we depart, you will go with Him. If you are in Messiah King. And so you need to revel in that. You just need to revel in that. The fact that Jesus raised you from the dead to a new, powerful, living life, a unique life. Oh my goodness. I said there were three. So verse 7, read it with me. That in the coming ages He might display the immeasurable riches of His grace through His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Now I want you to notice the underlying portion. Would you read it out loud with me? Nice and loud. So that in the
coming ages.
That's not now. Turn to your neighbor and say, that's not now. It's about later. Tell them that. Tell your neighbor. It's about later. Some people think that Christianity is all about getting your kingdom now. That's bad reading. Right now, we're going to be the off-scouring. You know, when you burn the food in the bottom of the pan, and then you stick it in the sink, and you soak it, and then you get out the metal scraper, and you get most of the crud, and you throw it down the garbage disposal. That's how we're being treated now. But in heaven, hallelujah. The grace and the mercy and the love are just going to shower over top of you. They're going to pour. Not now! Don't get this confused. This isn't heaven. If you think this is heaven, we need to whack you up alongside the head and get your lookers adjusted. It just doesn't work that way. You see, the purpose of our position is for the future, not just the present. And we have to realize that one day we will be on display, but today's not the day of display. That day's coming. He will lavish grace upon you, and it'll be amazing grace there. And He will lavish that grace upon your face in heaven. It will be amazing. So you just need to thrill to the fact that Jesus will demonstrate to you in heaven the incomparable riches of His grace. You need to focus on the future. Turn to your neighbor, tell him, I need to focus on the future. Stop living for now and start living for then. This is why we do not... I'm going to have a little fun here. One of my students is with me, Ryan. I'm going to have a little fun. That's why we don't buy $300 kicks. Because if we buy $300 kicks here, we're going to live in sandals there. We lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven, not on earth. We're not squandering the money here. We're investing it in eternity. Now, all that's true. And everybody says, what do you say to that?
We say,
amen. Hallelujah. 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 We say, Jesus paid it all. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus paid it all. Amen. There's just one small problem with that. Sometimes my position in Christ looks nothing like my practice in Christ. Do I have an amen in the room? The way I live doesn't look like the way He's given me a position. And so we look at that. Let me just ask you a question. How many of you like hypocrites?
No.
Just raise your hand. I love hypocrites. No, we don't. The trouble is that we all are. Church is filled with hypocrites. Congratulations. So is the Rose Bowl when there's a game. So is the grocery store. So is every other place. We're all hypocrites. We say one thing, and then you know how you've done this. You know what I'm talking about. You're telling somebody the way it ought to be, and you leave. And 5 minutes later, you're doing that very thing you were scolding them about. You know how that is. Now, if you've never done that, bless you. Maturity is about making my walk equal to my talk. I grow up and I start acting what I say I believe. That's maturity. And this passage that we're going to look at talks about how in Colossians 3, if you turn in your Bible there, to Colossians 3, we're going to talk about how Paul takes this idea that we've just talked about, that we're in Messiah, that we've died in Christ, and we're going to talk about what in the world does that mean? So what? If that's the glory, hallelujah, what's the gory? I got to live it. And so Colossians chapter 3, and we look at verse 1. Would you read it with me, please? So if you have been raised with the Messiah, seek what is above, where the Messiah is, seated at the right hand of God. Now, I don't know if you ever noticed this in the Bible. I've tried to make it very clear to you that Jesus had kind of a confrontational lifestyle with people of religion. Do you notice that? Paul has one too. What's the confrontational word in verse 1? If. You see, if you have been raised with the Messiah. Now in Ephesians, remember what he said? When you've been raised with the Messiah, all these things are wonderful. They all happen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We're all shouting hallelujah. Now Paul says in Colossians, if it's true. It's a challenge. If it's true, it's like saying, if you possess faith, then this is the way you live. That's what he's going to tell us in this passage. Four verses, short verses. It's like he's saying, if you enjoy the mercy, the love, the grace of God, the one who in this life is life himself, and you have an abundant eternal life in Messiah King, and if you revel in the fact that the Lord Jesus has raised you from the dead, and if you thrill to the fact that Jesus will demonstrate to you in heaven the incomparable riches of his grace, then prove it. Wow. A little confrontational for me. I mean, you know, I don't like people in my face all the time. Okay, just prove it. Prove it. Okay? But that's the way the text goes. If I've truly made a life response to Jesus, if I've truly chosen to follow after him, if I've truly chosen to deny myself on a daily basis, if I've truly chosen to take up my cross, if I've truly chosen to follow Jesus, then the first thing that's true is I will seek after the things above. My life will focus on where Christ is seated. I won't be so excited about the trinkets of this planet. I won't get sidetracked. I'll seek after those things. In fact, this is what he says. Read it with me, verse 2, Colossians 3. Set your mind on what is above, not on what is on the earth. Now, you know how this works. Where you focus is where you wind up going. Driving down the 105 in the carpool lane, focus on the K-rail, guess what? I can almost kiss that thing before I realize that, uh-oh, I should be looking straight ahead. You know how it is. You've seen people. They focus on getting the mansion on earth instead of the mansion in heaven, and pretty soon all of their life is deep in debt, and they're digging themselves into a worse and worse situation, and soon the wife leaves, and the children can't stand you, and you're stuck with a building and a debt, and you're upside down, and nobody wants to buy. You see, it's all about where we focus, and this passage tells us that we need to set our minds on what's above, not on the things of this earth. In other words, Paul's telling us we need to do a little heart diagnostic. We need to take a look at our heart. Every morning I get alone with God and I ask him to do a little heart surgery. Because I remember what Jesus said. As he's asking questions, I have to check the beat of my heart. Do a little EKG. Read with me Jesus out of Luke 6:45, where he says, "A good man produces good out of the good storeroom of his heart. An evil man produces evil out of the evil storeroom of his heart. For his mouth speaks from the overflow of the heart." Here it is, my diagnosis. I can sit down and diagnose. You can sit down and diagnose yourself like I can myself. What am I talking about? Did you catch that? What am I talking about? All I have to do is listen to my words. Now, it's kind of scary when you're me. Not when you're you, but when you're me. Because I record most of what I say. We're recording this right now. I teach. So I teach for hours. And I record all of that. And then I have the audacity to put that on the internet so people can listen to it. And so from time to time I have to edit things out. Like when the remote won't work and I have to mess with the remote. I have to edit that out. But I have to listen to that first. I teach at night. Any of you ever say silly things when you get tired? By the way, it doesn't have to be late at night to be tired, right? We can use the "I was tired" when we first get up in the morning, right? Because we say silly things. And then I realized in the Bible that Jesus told me I have to give an account for every word spoken even in private. And I realized I need to do a heart diagnostic. Why? Because I need to be checking to see what my heart is set on. You know that old song, John? The things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of your glory and grace. You can always tell when people aren't walking close to Jesus. The things of this world are bright and flashy. They like what I call for men the new paint-itis. Oh, you know, my car is about a year old. I need new paint. Oh, my boat. I haven't had one for 2 years. I need some new paint. Well, the new paint happens to wrap around the new car or the new boat or the new... And you ladies, you know how it is. Oh, got to change out the appliances in the kitchen. Okay? You know how it is. We all have this problem. New paint-itis. Okay. Well, all I'm saying is this. Keep focusing your thoughts on the things above. Now, the easiest way to focus on the things above is to be in the Word every day. That's why we encourage you to read through the Bible, and we're encouraging you to read through the New Testament in this last quarter of this year. We're encouraging you to focus on the things above. You're going to listen to Jesus talk 4 different times through 4 of the similar series of conversations. 4 different ways he's going to talk about things that are key to the spiritual life. I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to read. Keep focusing your thoughts on the things above. I said there were 3 things here. Here's the third. Let's look at it. Actually, there's 4 of these practical lifestyle actions. Let's look at the 4th one. Read it with me. You have died, and your life is hidden with the Messiah in God. Turn to your neighbor and see if they've died. Now, I want you to notice this verse says, you have died. What in the world does that possibly mean, since all of us have already said we were made alive? Right? We're died. Well, at your death, we have a party at the church. It's called your baptism. And when I lead a baptism, I have you give your death story, your obituary to the old life. I have you tell what you're leaving behind. I'm going to have you tell about how you chose to follow Christ. I'm going to have you tell about how you denied yourself and are going to continue to do it. I have you tell about how you are taking up your cross. I'm having you tell your story about how you follow after Christ. It's a party. We all rejoice when you die because your plans, your dreams, your ideas, all of that set aside for a much grander scheme, the kingdom of God, where if you are busy with the kingdom of God, you get amazing rewards. When you're busy with your kingdom, it all burns when you leave. Now, no one knows the day of their departure. You don't know yours, and I don't know mine. On Thursday, one of my high school classmates had his day of departure. At 55, he simply had a heart attack and died. Now, I just want to be honest with you. You're going to die, and so am I. This life is not all there is. And the question is, are you prepared for the next one? If you've prepared for the next one, you have died to this life. You're living for the next one. Your life is hidden. You see, your life is hidden with Christ. And in this process of dying with Christ and living with Christ, you and I have found this amazing blessing in Christ. We are hidden with the King, and we live for the King. And so we love the King. You've died, your life is hidden in the King. Everything I do is about the King. See, when I died, it was because Christ died. I died with Him, and now He lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live for the return of Christ. He's coming back for you. He's coming back for me. Now, Paul was very clear about this in Romans 8:13. Would you read it with me? He's giving us the understanding of the 2 diametrically opposed lifestyles. These are the 2 different ways to live this life. Here it is. Read it with me. For if you live according to the flesh, you are going to die. Ooh, that's pretty blunt. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Do you catch the difference? There's death in both of them. And in both of them, you and I are going to die. But if I live this life to please myself, it's an eternal death. I don't have Christ, no matter how often I come to church, no matter how much I talk about Jesus, if I'm living for myself, I've not followed Jesus. I'm following me, and I put a shell, a plastic pretend cover on it. How many of you ever buy pills? Do you ever buy pills, and you get the bottle, and then you open the bottle at home, and what's inside? Cotton and a lot of air. That's called bad labeling. You see, if there's a lot of air and a lot of fuzz in your life, but you label yourself as a Christ follower, it ain't true just because the label's on it. If you live for the flesh, what? You're going to die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the flesh, you'll live. In other words, abundant life is when I put me out. Oh, that sounds an awful lot like, if any man desires to come after me, let him deny himself and what? Take up his cross and follow me. I'm going to have to kill this guy called Matt. Now, in other words, from this verse we realize that we need to stay dead to the world. We just need to stay dead to the world. In Christ, I am dead positionally. I need to stay dead. I need to stay dead to the world. I need to constantly reaffirm it's Christ in me. I come after Christ. I deny myself. I take up my cross. I follow Him today like I did yesterday, like I did the first day. I just am going to follow Jesus. I'm going to stay dead to me. And the fourth practical lifestyle choice, if all this is true, and I really do have eternal life, is found in verse 4. Would you read it with me? When the Messiah, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory. Did you catch that little phrase? When Messiah, who is your life? Is Christ your life? Before you answer, maybe it's time to examine the calendar. Discover for yourself the activities and the events that you invest your discretionary time in and see if your calendar really does reflect Jesus is your life. Or how about your checkbook? Quantifying for yourself where the majority of your money goes and to which people and projects you spend the most of your money on. By the way, if your calendar and your checkbook starts screaming, me, 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 that's not he, as in Christ, right? I have to do this all the time. I need to inventory my abundance. Look at this person. They look like they could use one of those TV shows of cleaning out the house, doesn't it? All these things. Maybe we just have a spendaholic problem. We have an addiction. A friend of mine was posting this morning on Facebook, and I was telling her, she was talking about what she was getting and all the things she was acquiring, and I said, addiction's a hard thing to kick. And she starts laughing, and she starts making excuses. Well, I haven't done it for so many years, and da-da-da-da-da. And I said, addiction's a hard thing to kick. And it usually uses a lot of rationalizations and excuses. Folks, inventory your abundance. Find out if you're really pouring your life into the kingdom. Your excess cash and your credit can be accumulated for me or for He. And then the last one is to list our disciples. Who are we discipling? Because we've already established that if you're going to be in biblical harmony with the mission, you make disciples. We've already said that. Go therefore into all the world and make disciples. Who am I making? And quantify your sacrifices. Show yourself in reality. I show myself in reality. Who's at the center of my life? I do this all the time. About once a month I get alone and I just for about an hour I sit down and I think about, where's the money going? Where am I spending my time? What does it have to do with how I'm using my discretionary money? What's it have to do with how am I discipling people? Where am I making sacrifices for the kingdom? By the way, none of these five things has anything to do with the American dream. Okay? It has nothing to do with those. Because we don't live for the American dream. We live for the kingdom dream. And those are two different dreams with two different goals. You see, when you set your mind on Christ, and Christ is your life, you radiate Jesus since He is your life. Every decision, as you mature in Christ, focuses on, what would Jesus do? How would Jesus spend this money? What would Jesus do with this time? What would Jesus do with these people? And you keep centering away from me. Now, you know the difference between me and He. Me is immaturity. And we grow in Christ. And that's what discipleship's all about. It's having someone grow us up. Remember Ephesians 4? That we're to grow up to be like Christ. Now, the point of this message is very simple, and this is it. You have to give up to grow up and go up. That's the way it is. It's true of all of life. Those of you who are older, you know this is true. It was really nice when mom and dad paid for the rent, and mom and dad paid for the groceries, and mom and dad paid for the clothes, and mom and dad paid for the phone, and mom and dad paid. But when I was a child, I spoke like a child. But when I grew up, I put away childish things. I took over. Is it easy to grow up? Olders, is it easy to grow up? Come on, a little louder with conviction. Is it easier to grow up?
No.
No, it's not. I have a friend who says, I may be getting older, but I refuse to grow up. We know what she means. But the gas company doesn't care that you refuse to grow up, does it? Your landlord doesn't care if you refuse to grow up, does he? It's just the way it is. In Christ, if I want all the blessings, if I want a place to stay, and I want a car to drive, and I want food on my table, I'm going to have to grow up in this world, and the same is true spiritually. All those things are true about me that we said at the beginning. In Christ, all those are my blessings. But when Christ is my life, I need to bring my walk and my talk into harmony. And then I get the abundance. I get to enjoy some of those future things now. And I'm going to really revel in them in eternity. Father, help us, Lord, to be more like Jesus. We are thrilled and we revel and we rejoice that Jesus paid it all. To all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain and He washed it white as snow. And Lord, as a result of that truth, we have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. We want to grow up in Christ. We want to experience all there is in Christ. We want to enjoy all the blessings You have for us. And so we say with the song writer of old, we're going to trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Help us to be doers of the Word and not hearers only, as we would never want to deceive ourselves. We want the joy and the intimacy of the relationship, not the coldness and the calculatingness of the religion. Father, we love You, and we pray You would bless in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen and amen.
And with that prayer, we wrap up this study on how to enjoy the blessings God has for us. Perhaps you would like to explore the abundant life in more detail. Dr. Smith has written a daily devotional book that will help you do just that. In His Presence is a detailed look at walking with God through life's ups and downs, built around the premise that God welcomes you into His presence with joy and pleasure. In His Presence helps you see that the life of abundance can only be enjoyed when we take everything to the Lord and walk every day at His right hand. You can order a copy of In His Presence from Amazon by clicking on the link on the side panel of the Eagles in Leadership website. And now until next time, we are praying that you would be filled with the love of God so that you can demonstrate His love to the lost and dying in your city. God bless.